So good to be with you today in the house of the Lord. God bless you. I see some familiar faces, and it's so good to see you again. And those that are not familiar, it's good to see you. God bless you. God, anxious to meet you and greet you. I have a few remarks I'd like to make today about the Gideons and let you know what we're up to and what we're doing. And around the world, and some of the testimonies we're receiving throughout the world. And I have a few artifacts I'd like to share with you as well. Let me get them out. All salesmen has a satchel. You can't sell anything better than the gospel. The best message there is. I'll get straight in a minute. Oh, this is the fun part. I love to go out and meet different people and share with them the Gideon message. You know, we're a real busy people. It's a bunch of us, but we have a big job. But we couldn't do our job if it wasn't for people like you. And when I finish with my message today, you'll understand why I come. It's so good to be with you today, and I'd like to also share with you my friend Peggy Clayton is joining me today, and nice to have her with us today as well. She's my moral support, keeps me straight, keeps me humble. And you may be asking, who are the Gideons? Some of you may not be familiar with us. We are a group of Christian businessmen and professional men who have dedicated our lives to distributing God's word throughout the world for the purpose of getting people saved, building the kingdom of God. Folks, that's what it's all about. And we have a tremendous activity around the world, and we're located in a lot of different countries. And one thing about it, folks, I'm real proud to be a Gideon. And when we get to heaven and we see all the different people working in different ministries and different aspects or different works in the kingdom of God, we're going to probably be surprised. But there's a lot of people throughout the world working for the kingdom, working for Jesus, spreading the gospel, winning the people to Christ. The disciples came to Jesus one day and complained about the people down the road that were witnessing and teaching Jesus. And Jesus told them, says, don't worry about them. Says, I've got people working that you know not of. And folks, they're all over the world working to build the kingdom of God. The media gets all the attention and give all of the media time to the devil and his crowd. But believe me, God is winning the battle. We are winning the battle. And we are spreading the gospel throughout the world and winning people to Jesus Christ. Every time a soul is born into the kingdom, heaven rejoices over that one lost soul that is brought into the kingdom. And every effort we make to win a soul is worth it. The greatest thing you can ever do is to share Jesus Christ with another human being and win them to the Lord. You'll receive the joy of knowing that you won a person to Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. Our mission, of course, is to distribute God's word throughout the world. Mark 16 and 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our first Bible distribution was in 1908. We passed out 25 Bibles to a hotel in Montana. And from there, we have distributed over 2 billion Bibles throughout the world since then. There's 170,000 of us working, Gideons working throughout the world. And there are 97,000 ladies in the auxiliary of the Gideons. So the women are working too. Men are not doing it all by themselves. We are in 199 countries. We were in 201 countries. We got kicked out of 2 countries because of our stance on same-sex marriage. We took a stand and we got kicked out of 2 countries. But we will get back in there one way or the other. We have our ways. There are 52 countries in the world that has banned the Bible from being distributed in their country. We have to smuggle the Bibles in. And we have to give them to the locals, and they distribute the scriptures, risking their lives to distribute the word of God. But God's word is getting through, people. God's word is getting through, and God's word is doing the job, because the Holy Spirit along with the Word of God, is moving people into the kingdom of God, and we are so proud of that. We print the Bible in 107 different languages around the world. You may say, well, where do you put them? We place the Bibles where they're needed, folks. When they're needed, and for people in a crisis in their life. And that person receives that Bible in that crisis situation. They will read a scripture from a Bible, and the Holy Spirit will apply that scripture to their life and will heal their hurt and repair and help that individual and restore that individual. We put them in hotels and motels. This is our hotel Bible. We place these in hotels and motels, and it costs $5 a piece for us to purchase these. And we take the recycled Bibles, the Bibles that we take back out of the hotels, and we put soft covers on them, and we give them to the prisons. And they distribute them throughout the prisons, because a solid Bible with a hard cover could be used as a weapon. So we take the hard covers off and put soft covers on them so they can't be used as a weapon. And we distribute them to the prisons. It's a recycled Bible. This is the Bible that we place in the hospitals, hospital rooms, nursing stations. We don't have as much freedom now as we used to have. We used to go in every room and place a Bible in each hospital room. We can only place them now in the nursing stations, and they will distribute the Bibles themselves. But these are the Bibles that we distribute to the nurses and also in the hospitals. We have a Bible this is the personal worker's testament we distribute to the military. The first Bible I ever received was when I went into the Air Force back in 1960, I received a personal worker's testament. And that was the first Bible that I read through. And God blessed me during boot camp. You couldn't have any other book with you during boot camp, but you could have your Bible. So I'd have my Bible in my fatigue pockets, and whenever I was laying somewhere where I didn't have nothing to do, I'd pull it out and read it. Brought a lot of comfort to me during boot camp and during training. So we distribute Bibles in all the induction centers. We're still giving them out to the military. And also to our fifth graders and seventh graders, we distribute the personal workers' testaments at our schools. Unfortunately, some school systems won't allow us in. We're not allowed into Vance County schools, but we can get into the Franklin County, Warren County schools and distribute scriptures. I don't know why people are so fearful of the Word of God, but I do know why too. You see, this is the truth. There are 52 countries that have banned the truth from the country because they don't want their people to know the truth. They're being led by a bunch of heathens. We're being led in our country, and more so, by a bunch of heathens. There are a lot of good politicians, but there's a whole lot of wicked politicians leading our country astray. If they had their hearts right, they would allow us to place these Bibles in the hands of our children in our schools. They won't do that. So what we've done, we've come up with another technique. We have what we call a life book, and the kids can take these to school, and they're designed in such a way that they can have Bible studies and they can lead their friends to Christ through the life book work. You can go online, order these as many as you like, they're free, and give them to your kids. Your kids can take them to school and share the Word of God with their fellow students. I have here a Bible that was given to me by my son-in-law. His father received from his father this Bible that was given to him when he went into the Army back in 1941. And this Bible has a letter in the front of it that's written by President Roosevelt. And he wrote the letter and put it in the front of the Bible, encouraging the soldiers to go through these scriptures, study these scriptures, because they will receive strength and guidance. And can you believe what would the effect that we would have if we could get our president today to write a letter to go in the front of our Bibles that we are distributing? Of course, there's a lot of difference between 1941 and 2021. We've come a long ways, and I think in the wrong direction. We need to get back to our roots, get back to our fundamentals, because our fundamentals really is Jesus Christ. Our foundations were founded on the blood of Jesus Christ and the sweat of our forefathers. Our mission today is a partnership ministry with the local churches. It's 170,000 of the Gideons, but our job is to purchase and distribute scriptures throughout the world. But we couldn't purchase them if we didn't have the money. So the local churches are the ones that provide the funds for us to purchase the scriptures that we distribute. We have recognition cards as well. And this is another way that you can make a contribution to the Gideons by sending a sympathy card or a recognition card or in honor of card to a friend or a loved one. And you can make a contribution, and the person will receive the card and have a note that they had that so many Bibles were contributed on their behalf to the Gideons. And so these recognition cards, do you have a card filing in church? Does anybody know?
Yes, sir.
You do? Right. Well, yeah. Be sure to utilize these, and it'll help the Gideons and also be a blessing to your loved one who receives a card from you that represents a gift to the Gideons. That would be a great thing. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it." The Holy Spirit, folks, will accompany the Bible. When we place a Bible in a person's hand, whether it's a child or whether it's an adult, we place the Bible in their hand, the Holy Spirit will accompany that scripture. And when that person begins to read that scripture, the Holy Spirit will witness to them. If they're not a sinner, if they're not saved, it will convict them of the sin in their life. And if they are saved, it will witness to the truth and the validity of the Word of God. The Bible is truth, folks. It is the truth. Jesus was standing before Pilate. And after Pilate had interrogated Jesus and looked at his life, and he says, "I find no fault in him at all." But Pilate asked Jesus this question. He said, "What is truth?" And Jesus told him that, you know, "My disciples hear my voice and they know the truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life." Folks, Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Pilate, of course, being the man that he was, his wife had warned him not to deal with this man, have nothing to do with this man. He went through with the trial. He caved in and buckled in to the demands of the Pharisees, the priest, allowed Jesus to be crucified. 5 years later, Pilate committed suicide. Folks, we got to hold true. We got to stand true. We got to be faithful. We got to stand up against the opposition. The truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. And God's word is the truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And he said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus, folks, is the only way to the Father. Some people would tell you that there are many ways to heaven, many ways to the Father. But Jesus himself, the Son of God, made this statement, "I am the only way." Folks, the only way we can get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is the only way. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." How are we sanctified? We are sanctified through the truth, through the word of God. As we study and allow the word of God to be a part of our life, he will sanctify us and keep and make us holy before him. But the truth will guide you and lead you. and will sanctify you. This is why I'm proud to be a Gideon, folks, because I'm spreading the truth throughout the world. The truth throughout the world. Whether you're in Africa, Asia, or whether you're in New York City, or whether you're in a tobacco farm in North Carolina. And I was one for about 18 years. Folks, the truth will make you free. In 1947, I started school here in Epsom in the first grade. I spent a year and a half in the first grade here in Epsom. I always thought it was because the teacher liked me so much. But later on, I found out, hey, I didn't know a whole lot when I got out of school. You see, I came off the farm, and I could talk to the cows and the chickens and the hogs, but I had no idea what the teacher was saying. And so it took us a year. My dad, we had eight kids, with eight in the family, and the first five failed the first grade because we had to learn the language so we could teach or talk to the teacher. But it was a wonderful life being raised on a farm, folks. You're close to nature. You see God at work on a daily basis. And I wish every child in America could be raised on a farm and they could have chickens and hogs and cows and see God working on a personal basis. And what was that teacher's name? Miss Griffin. Anybody remember Miss Griffin? A wonderful lady. She really liked me. She kept me 2 years. I escaped though, and we moved over to another farm. My dad was a sharecropper, and we moved over to another farm. And I started going to Zephyr, and I finally got out of first grade. But it was a wonderful experience here in Epsom. You know, the Bible changes lives. The Bible also changes nations. Remind you of this, the Word of God was found in the ruins of the temple and was brought to the authorities, and it blessed the nation. Ezra began to read the Word of God found in the temple and back in Nehemiah's day. And in Nehemiah 8 and 5 it says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." Now, and it says, these people stood up and listened to Ezra read the Word of God. Now, he didn't read it in 10 minutes. He didn't read it in a half hour. It took a half a day that they stood there listening to him read the Word of God that was found in the temple. And the Word of God found in the temple turned that nation around, just like it'll turn your life around and my life around when we read it and let it become a part of our life. It has power. It has power to restore. The people around the world get a copy of God's Word in their own language. The Holy Spirit will turn their lives around as well. And this is what's happening, folks, around the world. We have testimonies coming in from all over the world. Many, many testimonies. About every 3 seconds, I think, they say a testimony will come into the head office of what the Holy Bible is doing around the world. The Holy Bible in a motel room, or in a soldier's pocket, in a hospital room, at the moment it's needed, makes all the difference in the world to those individuals. A stressed person opens a Bible, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Oh, my, my, my. When you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in to us. God was over the children of Israel. Jesus was with his disciples, but the Holy Spirit is in us, folks, in us. God himself in us. And when God himself in us, when we begin to read the Word, he will reveal to us the Word and bless us. And he will fix whatever needs to be fixed in our life. There's a lady named Mary Kay Beard. You may have heard of her. Her and her husband were bank robbers. But she got arrested. And down in Alabama, she went to jail. And she found a Bible that had been placed by the Gideons. And as she read the Bible, she got saved. Now she's heading the Angel Tree Ministry to prisoners, working for the Lord, winning prisoners, other prisoners to Jesus Christ, because she was a prisoner. But she found the Word of God. The Word of God turned her around and made her life very, very worthwhile and very effective. So we need to learn to serve God where we are. God places us where we are for a reason. And I can look back on my life and say, hey, I'm not that old. I'm just a youngster. Compared to somebody, I'm a real youngster. be 78 soon. But anyway, God places us, and I can look back on my life and see where He has placed me in certain positions, in certain places, just so I could witness to a certain person. And it'll happen to you too. So we always need to be aware of what God is doing in our life. You're not there by chance. You're there for a reason, for a purpose. And God will use you for that purpose. Leanne Atkins, she was about 14 years old, and she rebelled against her parents, and she left home. She was 16 years old. She found a Bible that some Gideon had placed in a backpack in the store. See, some of us Gideons are kind of cagey. Some Gideon went to the store, and he placed the Workers' Testament in each of the backpacks that all of the kids would be getting. And sometimes before school starts, this would be a good time to do this. And he placed these Bibles in these backpacks. Perchance, this lady, Leanne Atkins, she found a Bible in a backpack that some Gideon had placed there. And she began to read that, and she got saved. And 1 John 4 and 10, she got convicted of her sins. And now, her and her boyfriend, Nate, they are working together in Afghanistan. Galatians 2 and 20, they're crucified with Christ. Folks, let me tell you what. The Bible will do the job if we can just get it into the hands of our boys and girls, young men and women around the world. But her and Nate are busy serving God. Another good example is Camilla Panilla from Sri Lanka. This is kind of a tongue twister. But her family were Buddhist. And she came to America to get an education. Went to our universities. A Gideon passed out Bibles on campus. And she received one. She got saved. But her family has disowned her and kicked her out because of her receiving Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. But she gained salvation. But her family deserted her. But she received Christ. Bishop Ron Archer is another example. His mother was a prostitute. He was what they call a tricks baby. Kicked around and had an awful life to begin with. But when he was about 10 years old, he attempted to commit suicide. But he couldn't get the safety off of the weapon that he was trying to shoot himself with. But his grandmother led him to the Lord. Now he's pastoring a church. Winning his lost loved ones to Christ. My, my, my. Folks, God works. There's never a person too small, too poor, too insignificant to receive Christ. A lot of times God will take the least and make them the most. You see that? We have an example as president, Abraham Lincoln. It's a good example. Had nothing. Comes to the back heels. God made him president. God used him in a powerful way. When you see a child, that child has the potential to be a president. A child has the potential to be a doctor, a lawyer. I don't care where they're coming from. God can lift them up and make them what He would have them to be. That's why it's so important for us to learn to be obedient to God and do His will, not our will. Pastor Angelo tells of a woman in his congregation. She went to a hotel to commit suicide. She opened the Gideon Bible, and she finds Christ. She goes to church, and she gives a testimony of how She was about to commit suicide, and she picked up this Gideon Bible, and she began to read, and how the Holy Spirit convicted her, and she accepted Christ. The Gideon that placed the Bibles in that hotel was in the congregation. Now, can you imagine how he felt? See, angels in heaven rejoice when a person is saved. And this Gideon, he was shouting the victory because he helped place the Bible there in the place where this person needed it that got saved. Folks, that's a tremendous work. And this is why us Gideons sometimes, we get excited about what we're doing. It is a wonderful, wonderful work. Terry Hensley is another example of a lady. She was a single mom, had no job, no hope, and really very depressed. And she said, I'm just going to give up and quit. So she got a shotgun and she went into a closet and said, I'm just going to end it all. And about that time, she heard somebody at the door, and it was her son coming home early from school. And when he got in, she went to the door and let him in. And lo and behold, he had something in his hand. And it was a Bible that the Gideon had passed out that day at school. She sat down on the doorstep with him, and they began to read. She got saved. Wow. Pretty soon she had a job as a mail carrier. See how God blesses folks. He turns people's lives around. And one day she was in a training session, and she met this guy, and they began to like each other. I mean, they just kind of hit it off. You ever been that way? Kind of hit it off? I know a story about a about a lady getting a bad from Walmart. But see, things just happen. And she hit it off with this guy, and she wanted Christ. And they finished the training session. He goes home and he dies. And two weeks later, he has a heart attack and dies. But Terry learned the value and the joy of winning a person to Christ. How long has it been since you won someone to Christ? Since you shared the message of God and won somebody to Jesus Christ? Folks, this is how the kingdom of God is built. The kingdom of God is not built on transfers. It's built on conversions. We need to win people to the Lord and build the body of Christ. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And I'm going to tell you what, there's joy among the Gideons when a Gideon Bible is used for a person to receive Jesus Christ. And if there's any one of you who would like to help us out, we can sure use your help. And I'd be glad to talk to you about that. Elliot is another guy. He was planning to kill himself. In the hotel room, he knocked a Bible off of the table, and it fell on the floor. And he looked down there and picked it up. And what did he see? The Bible says, he saw the verse of Scripture that says, "My peace I give you." Here I am fixing to kill myself, and here this book is saying, "My peace, whose peace?" He began to read. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He was delivered that day simply by the witness of the Holy Spirit when a person picked up the Word and began to read. Now he's a pastor, winning people to Christ, preaching God's message. Sandy's another person that was contemplating suicide, and one day she found a Bible underneath the seat of a car. It must have been one of the kids had left in the car and gotten under the seat. She began to read the plan of salvation in the back of the book, and the Holy Spirit began to convict her of the sin in her life, and she got saved. What a wonderful, wonderful message, folks. Because we have a list of, in the front of the Bibles we pass out, there's a list of situations, crisis situations people can get in, and we'll have a scripture reference. And then in the back of the Bible, we'll have a place where they can date and sign as they read the plan of salvation, and then when they accept Christ, they can sign and they can date when they actually receive Jesus Christ. So this is a handy tool for winning people to the Lord. You may be asking, how can I help Gideons? Wow, man, there's a lot of ways you can help us. One thing, and the first thing really is to pray for us, pray for the Gideons, and pray for the people receiving the Bible. Pray for pray for the people, for the hands we're placing these Bibles into. Pray for them, that God will use the word to win them to Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we need help. We need members. We need people to come in. We have one member in our group is 92 years old. He makes me feel like a young'un. I feel like the choir boy, the altar boy, you know. I'm the young guy in the group. So we do need some help. And if you're interested in sharing, helping the Gideons, we'd love to talk to you about that as well. And it requires a letter of recommendation from your pastor, so you got to be on good terms with him. But anyway, we would love to talk to you. And also, you can give. You can give generously through directly to the Gideons International, or you can give through your local church. Either way would be great. We would really appreciate that. So, do you have any questions? Anybody have any questions they'd like to ask the Gideons? I used to be an instructor, and I would tell my students, I said, the only dumb question is the one you didn't ask. The one you didn't ask. So if you have any questions, I'd love to share with you. If not, I'd like to have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to Andy. Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for the Gideon ministry, the work they do. We thank you, Father, for all the churches that support us with the finances and their prayers. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless this church. Anointed, dear God, from on high, continue to bless the ministry here. May they grow for your glory and for your honor. And, oh God, I pray that you'll just help us today to turn our faces toward you, Lord. And may we yield our vessels to thee, oh God. May your precious Holy Spirit guide us, direct us, bless us, and help us in all the things, Father, that we endeavor to do. May many souls be saved and made brought into the kingdom, Lord, through the labor of the Gideons and through the blessing, through the offerings of the local churches. We just love you, Lord, and praise you and thank you for all the many blessings of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.